when I die in heaven, you know, there's no more opportunity to build something new or like create something or win. Like that, those concepts like go away in heaven.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm thinking like I'm here now and I'm absolutely dedicated to my family 100%. But like my family will be with me in heaven, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like this part of my life, like the creating something, the winning, the competition, the building,
yeah,
the whatever. It's like I watch the race car guy and I'm like, I'm never going to have the chance to do something like that, like ever in eternity, you know? Mm-hmm. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that pays its taxes. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm pleading the fifth. This is The Crunch. this is The Crunch, a Catholic podcast where we have a little topic, have a little joke, have a little drink. We think more people should have conversations like this one, and we're glad you're here with us.
Yes.
Ethan, happy post-tax season. You know what that means?
It means it's time for everyone to stop talking to me about taxes for a whole other year.
Yes. Unfortunately, Ethan, we run a business, and so no. I'll see no. you we in run, June.
We run a lifestyle brand.
Yes, that has to pay taxes quarterly. So I've been allegedly.
Allegedly. Here's the deal. Here's what I've learned in the past month. It's not illegal to not pay. It's just illegal to not file. So we could file every year and then lose the routing number in the mail.
I don't think that's true.
I will not wire my money to the government, no matter how much they ask. Because they, here's the thing. It's their name is on the dollar. It's their money anyway. I'm just borrowing it, really, from them.
I'm what if we rendered unto me a little bit, huh?
Yeah. What if I started printing Ethan dollars and I sent them a bill? And I was like, "Hey, you've incurred this much. I need you to here's the instructions. It's due by April 16th cuz I don't want to take your thing. Yeah. But send them on in and pay heed maybe for once in your life, U.S. Department of Treasury.
Remember that one time in 2020 when tax day was like September? Everyone was like doing their taxes in December.
Is that true? Did that happen?
Yeah, they deferred tax day for quite some time.
Oh, yeah, because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
And I was like, everyone's home doing nothing. What do they got going on? Just do your taxes, man.
I think everyone had to, the government took a mental health
Yeah,
year.
The government took a mental health day.
Can I talk about something really sad? Speaking of mental health, by the way.
Sure.
This is not the direction that you think it's going to go in.
Okay.
I highly respect anybody who works.
Besides our men.
Anybody who works in the mental health fields who helps people who have mental health problems, I think that's great. On the other hand, I do think that there is a large concern with mental health that is maybe a bit fabricated. Or use as an excuse for lack of discipline or virtue in other areas. Fair?
Yes. Fair.
Mental health is real, but I also think it's too much with the mental health sometimes.
Too much with the phone?
Too much with the phone.
Too much
and with
mental health.
I was looking on, so I've been blown up on LinkedIn lately. And
it's the time for the Young Catholic Professionals Conference.
I know.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. That's going to be our tagline for the show. We're young. We're Catholic.
Like,
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We have professions. So
I will
that's
not be wearing a jacket or a tie at this event. Thank
Whoa.
You.
Bold. I will probably.
I probably will.
I need to go to Men's Warehouse. Not important. So I was looking at LinkedIn and I was scrolling through like my contacts list because I was just seeing, I kind of wanted to see like, what are the people I'm connected with from high school and college? What are they doing? And first of all, if you ever want just like sadness to overwhelm you, go and find like the highest achieving people at your high school and look them up on LinkedIn. So I did this. There was a guy in my high school who was on Teen Jeopardy, who like won 10 grand on Teen Jeopardy. And he got a 36 on the ACT, perfect score, you know, valedictorian, 5.0 GPA, took every single AP class. He would get the flu over winter break so that he could have perfect attendance. He had perfect attendance since kindergarten. Like, a freak, but yeah, super smart guy, super nice. Yeah. He helped me a lot in math.
He would get, you know, and he was altruistic. Wow.
Yeah. Like he was a wealth. Honestly, great guy. No problems with him. And he's like genius level, right? Like everything he does, he just gets and he understands. So we're like, this guy is going to do something amazing. And I look up his LinkedIn and he's a postdoc research fellow around the stigmas of mental health. And I'm like, dude, that's,
you could have put rockets up in the air.
I know. Like I was kind of, it made me sad. I was like, come on, man.
You know how much Raytheon would have paid for that brain?
That's what I'm saying. We could have used you for cybernetic research.
Actually, the worst thing in the world is that the worst thing in the world about secularism is that all of the best minds, instead, all of the best spectrum adjacent minds, instead of using their skills to memorize the Summa, and do a theology, they're using their skills to memorize intersectionality words because there's new ones every.
Yeah.
Man, I sound like a boomer dad.
You are a boomer dad. But he could have been like, if he was alive back when we didn't know about the sun, he could have done the calculations.
Otherwise known as the Dark Ages.
The Dark Ages, when there was no sun.
So dark.
The only sun was the Son of God delivered by the Catholic Church in Europe. And people who rejected him. That's why they thought it was so dark, because they rejected the light of Christ. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
He would have been able to calculate the trajectory of celestial bodies with aplomb. And he would have had titles deeded to him over land so that he could have income, so that he could focus all of his energy on calculating the gravitational pull between Venus and your mom or whatever, you know. Like he could have been doing that.
What could have been accomplished?
Imagine what he could have done. And today he's a postdoc research fellow studying the stigma of mental health. And it's the same thing, like all the other people, like the top 10 people in my class, it's all the same. Like they're all just like HR reps and not that I'm any different. I'm a digital marketing specialist at a nonprofit. But it was just kind of like, man, everybody thought we were going somewhere and everyone was just kind of normal, you know.
It is sad. I don't want to dunk on this guy too much.
Let's dunk on him.
I'm going to dunk on the system and not him, because the system failed him, all right? Poor guy's probably hates his life. Nah, I'm just kidding. He's probably having a good time. But
he's probably fine.
The whole system, why are you spending money employing people to study instead of studying the thing, studying the stigma around the thing?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That seems much less important,
right?
In my opinion,
yes.
We want to study, and that's the issue with sociology. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear the what was it? Psychology breeds anthropology, breeds sociology, and it's just you're getting further and further away from studying a real thing. You're just studying an ethereal, you know. And so you can have any opinion on it.
He was so good at all of the real sciences and he ends up for his job doing the fake science.
The softest science.
The softest. Yeah. Sad.
Maybe he's just putting in the work. You know, maybe he's just putting in the work, and eventually he's going to graduate to a postdoc studying mental health.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe one day.
If we keep talking like this, someone's going to have a postgraduate degree studying the stigmas of the studying of the stigmas of mental health. I'm creating more stigmas.
We need to study the stigma around being a Catholic podcaster.
Study the stigma of mental health. I knew you were going to like that.
How about this? Let's study the sigma of mental health.
Let's study the delta of mental health, where like the difference between, you know.
No, I was thinking like a base Chad sigma.
The sigma of mental health is the guy who's like, I'm sorry, I don't care. And they just kind of move on.
Yes. That's me. Am I a sigma?
I used to have a boss who would say things like, I understand that you're upset, but I can't take that into consideration. And I was like, that's
pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Try to use that on your wife and you'll be sleeping outside. Did you say that to Phoebe?
No.
I understand that you're upset, maybe. But I can't take that into consideration. Patrick, the type of guy to hear a cold line from his boss and use it on his wife the same day on his wife. Because he thought it was cool.
It went over well.
Don't do that. Did it?
No.
Okay. Well, that was a hard read, by the way. I had no idea that you actually did that.
It sounds worse than it was. Fear not.
Well, it sounds pretty bad.
My wife and I didn't say it like that. My wife and I are good at communicating, and we don't we don't yell at each other and take things the wrong way. We tend to not snap at each other. It's good.
Sure. Yeah, you guys never get upset with each other or whatever.
No, we definitely do. But I will say that a lot of the things that I think, I do not say. And so I can assume that a lot of things that she thinks, she do not say. Which is one thing in marriage that I've learned, is that just because you think a thing does not mean it's true.
Yeah, I've learned that in
something.
I've learned that in podcasting as well with you.
Oh, yeah?
You make me think a lot of thoughts that I don't say out loud.
Yeah, really?
Yep.
I think a lot of that's the opposite lesson that I've learned in podcasting.
Yeah.
The lesson I've learned in podcasting everything. Is say everything you think.
Yes.
Yes. Have you ever listened to someone's first podcast?
I've listened to ours.
You've listened to, I know you've, but I mean, that was like, you must have listened like 7.5 years ago.
Yeah. I have listened to other people's first podcasts. You go back to Catching Fox's first episode. Whew. Or Pints with Aquinas first episode.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to think of other shows that are well known.
I love listening to a first episode.
Yeah.
Because you never know. You're like, this is a person who's only ever listened to podcasts. It's their fresh take on what it is. And you don't know if they're going to keep doing it. You don't know if they're going to stop. But you're like, I listened to someone's first podcast and I loved it. It was great. They were making points about everything. And I was like, they had so many good points and I'm excited to see where this podcast goes. I'm not gonna tell you what it is yet.
There's a lot of build up for a lot of nothing there, Chief.
There's a new Catholic dating podcast on the scene.
I saw it on LinkedIn. Hold on. Yeah. What the hell are you talking about? Patrick, co-host to a guy that has a whole show called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner that he helps me co-host. Oh yeah, I've been listening to this other. This is like the head of Nike being like, oh yeah, I tried out these new shoes. They're called Adidas. I don't know what they are.
Have you ever heard of them? They were made by
Nazis. They're really comfy, and I like them a lot. And they're my new favorite shoe now. Is basically what you're saying. You have a new shoe that you like.
Now, I listened to a podcast. A friend of mine, an acquaintance from college. We're friends on LinkedIn. Mm. She posted about her new dating podcast with a friend of hers, and I listened to it, and it was good. It's called Love That. Go listen to it.
Is it better than our dating show that we do?
I am biased. I will say no. I think ours has. I mean, it's their first show, so I don't know if they're going to do advice stuff. But it's their. But we have an advice show. I don't know if I like the advice show better. It's salacious. Yeah. You know, you get to get into the nitty gritty. Like, this guy has a horrible life, and it's not as good. It's not as good as mine. That makes me feel better about myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think ours is better in like a monkey brain sort of way. Theirs was better in like a. I think they had good. They said something that I should have saved this for the dating corner, because I might save this topic for the dating corner, but I want to know your take on a piece of advice that she gave.
Really?
General advice, yeah.
Could we not just do a dating themed main show?
Ooh, that's a little too much. Like putting that hat on a hat.
No, that would be too much.
So she said,
like putting an overcoat on an overcoat.
Yeah, she said that she had received this advice from someone that every good relationship has at least two deal breakers. And that was something that made me pause the podcast and go,
I don't know what that means.
As
every good
like,
Monopoly deal deck has at least two deal breakers.
Do you play Monopoly deal often?
Who doesn't play Monopoly deal, brother? It's the game of the people. When I come down out of my ivory tower and everyone's like, Mr. Ethan, please spare a penny, a pence for a meat pie. I say, sir, I will give you more than a pence. I will give you a whole game of Monopoly deal, good sir. And I play with the people when
That's
I come
at
down.
At least $1 at a yard sale.
It's worth more. You can get it at Target for, I think, $12 at least.
Yeah, its resale value is about one.
Yes, but it's quite Appreciate. it's quite a game. The cards in it are worth $1 million.
Individually?
Individually, yeah. There's like a 1 million, and there's like a 2 million, as like a 5 million.
Yeah.
And there, even if you get lucky, there's the orange 10 million card. Ooh. And so $12 gets you access to riches untold.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there's two deal breakers in a relationship.
Yes. A good relationship has two deal breakers. Our point was that when people are dating, they go through, you know, the learning about you phase, and their deal breaker is like, oh, this guy wants to live in Oregon and I want to live on the beach. And that's a deal breaker.
There's beaches in Oregon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Should have picked a better. Not real ones. Not real ones. You can swim in. There's sad beaches from like a Taylor Swift 20, like from
every song. Every beach in Oregon is a nude beach because there's no one else there, so you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Every beach in Oregon is like a sad beach where you'd listen to like a Cage the Elephant song.
Cage the Elephant.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that the type of music you like?
No, that's the type of music you listen to on an Oregon beach. It's just cold, rainy.
I don't know enough about Cage the Elephant.
There's a bunch of hipsters there.
To even reference one of their songs.
Anyway, did they write Sweater Weather?
I don't know. I've never
heard. Someone correct me in the Discord.
Yeah.
And so like her point was that if you're not changing for the relationship, like changing your standards for the relationship, there at all, there's like something wrong there, you know.
So is she saying that it's good to have deal breakers or bad to have deal breakers?
It's good to have deal breakers. Every good relationship has at least two. I thought it was insightful. There's things that when people are dating, they're like, I would never date a guy who does X. That's a deal breaker. And then it's like, okay, I've met this guy and I love him, but he has this X quality, but I love him more than I hate that quality.
Oh, she's saying that like a good relationship has things that were previously deal breakers that are now no longer deal breakers.
Yes.
Okay. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
That seemed self-evident to me.
But. No, I didn't understand. It maybe because I was thinking about Monopoly Deal and the irrevocable nature of a deal breaker.
If you have the deal breaker card, your turn's over.
Unless you have the just say no, which in fact, then I have the just say no, and I can renege your neg, and it's quite a time.
I thought it'd be funny to have like an Uno reverse card in your car.
Yeah.
And then if you ever get pulled over, you just like hand them your license, registration, and an Uno reverse card.
Nice.
Because it's, you know, it's not going to hurt. You're already getting a ticket.
But you have to switch everything. So you become a cop and you have to take that guy's family. And he's and he has to start living your life. And all of a sudden I'm podcasting with 45-year-old Bruce.
Who's bald. Formerly Officer Bruce.
Formerly Officer Bruce, FKA. And that would be fun. That's what Max Fosh did at the influencer soccer game.
Really funny.
Gosh, he's so clever and so handsome.
It's the accent that makes up for a lot. Do you want to talk about dating more?
We can. I think you had a good point there about the deal breakers. I agree with it.
Good. It was my point. I did come up with it and didn't listen to it on a podcast. It's all ours. Haha. Copyright.
I recently viewed a film that I would like to discuss with you.
Was it Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No, but I do like that movie. And
then
I would talk about it. Okay.
I'm just
like,
go on.
It would, that does play into Monkey Mondays. So,
Ethan.
Yeah.
They're apes.
Oh, that's true. But
remember, if it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey. Ape. If it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey. It's an ape.
It's in the monkey in the monkey genus.
It's in the monkey verse. In the extended monkey verse.
Across the monkey verse. It is just.
That's a VeggieTales song. If it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey.
Oh. I don't like when they try to educate me about stuff in real life.
Then Larry goes around and like a kite, monkey, a fire hydrant, ape. And Bob's like, I don't think that's what she meant. And he's like, the zookeeper said if it doesn't have a tail, it's not a monkey, it's an ape. So if it has a tail, it's a monkey. If it doesn't have a tail, it's an ape.
Just the brutal logic of the cucumber.
Indeed.
He's so locked in.
Larry's razor.
forcing the zoologist to be precise with her definitions.
If anything has a tail, it is a monkey. If anything has no tail, it is an ape.
If Larry brought that kind of attitude to, I don't know, theological discussions, maybe he would be Catholic.
Larry is Catholic. We saw that episode, remember?
Oh, you made a reel about that.
Yeah, the AI Larry. People.
I saw a film recently. It was not The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, although I do enjoy both Dawn and War for the Planet of the Apes in that series. I do not like the one with James Franco, the first one, because it's a little... I like it when the monkeys start talking and they start shooting each other with guns. That's my favorite part of the, unsurprisingly to many of you, that's my favorite part of the trilogy. It's when there's guns and riding on horseback. So,
hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
This episode of The Crunch is sponsored by Briefcase Marketing. If you work or know people who work or are a Catholic parish, you need to listen to this. Hold on. I used to work at a church. You guys know this. Yeah. And website design is very important to me because it can be the difference between getting no phone calls from confused parents or 1,000 phone calls from confused parents about when your events are or where forms are located. You know,
it's dangerous. I've never worked in a parish, but I have used many, 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 many parish websites where I've spent, it's like with a machete in the African jungle trying to find the mass times. And I think we've all had that experience.
Yeah. And they're not updated
and they're wrong. And you show up and the church is empty and you miss mass for that day. And you call your dad and you're like, what do I do? And he says, I don't know. This is your fault. And it's just a mess. And you get yourself in a big old mess. And what Briefcase Marketing does, they make sure that mess doesn't happen. You know, nobody has to go through that. Yes.
The Catholic Church, as you know, Ethan, needs beauty in all of its areas, in the physical world, but also in the digital world as well. And they focus on beauty.
That's why I post pictures of myself online every day.
And that's why I consume those photos. Indeed. I make sure to consume them every time. But, you know, it's hard to know exactly what a good website looks like, especially if you're not a pro. There's a je ne sais quoi about website design. You know what I mean? Yes. We're like something that Deacon Steve, I know many Deacon Steves, wonderful people, but something that Deacon Steve thinks looks great is actually super hard to navigate and is obscene. But see Dan over at Briefcase Marketing, he knows what looks good and is easily usable by old people and toddlers alike.
Yes. Yes. And the nice thing is he's got experience. This is not just some startup guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's worked with small Catholic parishes all the way up to $250 million companies. So this is a guy who has a ton of experience and knows what he's doing. He's going to be very professional. He's going to set up your website. He's going to help you walk through it. He's going to maintain the website for you. Do everything that needs to be done so that the people that just want to know when Mass is and just want to know where the fish fry is located on the parish grounds can find that information quickly and easily.
I want to give you an example of something that he did for a parish in Ohio that he can do for your parish. So if you want this at your parish, just, you know, I'll give you a call to action at the end. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase actually to sign your parish up. But St. John Cantius had this old website that was just awful. It needed an update. It was one of the most beautiful churches in its area, but no one knew that because the digital footprint of the parish was weak, was ugly. And so so Dan came in and he provided a professional photographer to capture the church. The photos were used across all marketing material, including the website. He designed CTA buttons to get people to sign up for events all throughout the website so people that are thinking about joining the parish could join and actually become a part of the community. And since that launch, they've received nothing but positive feedback from website visitors. They had an easier time navigating it. There are more people were able to show up to parish events, and they were able to quickly send updates without those spammy pop-ups you see sometimes on websites. So if your parish is having that problem, that's the problem that Dan can solve. So go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, fill out a quick form, and Dan will get in touch with you, see how he can help you. It might be a big project, small project, whatever you need. Email Dan. Well, not email, sorry. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Professional podcaster, this guy right here.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, briefcase marketing. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. I saw a film called Ford versus Ferrari. Have you heard about this?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Have you heard about this film?
I heard about it from you yesterday.
Have you ever seen anything about it ever in your life?
No.
Well, the story is actually really, it moved me in a way that I was not expecting. So,
in a way that a car, like not in the usual way that cars
move. It did not move me in the sense of transportation. It moved me in the sense of emotion.
I find cars moving as well.
Okay. That's it for me.
Sorry. It's just kind of funny.
I'm trying to think of a better word, but it was, so it's basically the story of this guy. Spoilers for Ford versus Ferrari. It's a real life. It happened. So I feel like it's not, feel like if a movie is based on a real event, you can't spoil it because it's real life, you know?
Yeah.
It's like watching Saving Private Ryan and a bunch of people die on the beaches of Normandy. And you're like, spoilers. Look it up.
Yeah. It's like when they call the movie Saving Private Ryan and they save him at the end and you're like, spoilers.
I know. That's crazy. It's like, hold on. Wait, the Nazis lose at the end? The dramatic tension, please.
Come on.
What's that in the background? What are all those Nazis doing on a boat to Argentina? What is that? Can somebody spoilers?
And who's that bouncer at that nightclub talking to? I'm just kidding.
I don't know what that's a reference to.
Oh, that was a really probably uncouth reference to the fact that Pope Francis was a bouncer at a nightclub in Argentina.
Oh.
And so I was implying that.
I thought you were saying that you had a friend. Nazis. You had a friend who was a former bouncer at a nightclub who was a Nazi.
No, however, Larry the Cucumber did once perform an authentic, traditional Argentinian ballad in the original Spanish called The Dance of the Cucumber, so who knows? Maybe.
If we can figure out a way to get that in the German translation, like the German version of VeggieTales, we maybe could make some noise with bigidea.com.
It's probably like La Dans des Lichtenstein or whatever that is. That's German for cucumber.
I watched Ford versus Ferrari and it moved me. And it's about this period of time. It's like the mid 60s. And Ford is lagging behind, right? Mm. They're a bit of a boring company. It's time to get into racing. And not like silly American racing, but like real
Italian
European racing.
Race.
Yes. Yeah. So the whole thing centers around this 24-hour race at Le Mans. Have you heard of this? The 24-hour race at Le Mans?
No.
it's a 24-hour race at Le Mans. And you...
I gathered that much. I don't know what Le Mans is.
And the whole thing is they're trying to build a car that is faster than the Ferrari car.
Sure.
And one of the main characters is Christian Bale, who's the driver, who is a bit of a... People don't get along with him. The suits at Ford don't like him because he's sort of a character, but he's the best driver. Him and the car are one. And so Matt Damon is always like, it has to be this guy. And then the guy and the Ford guy is like, I don't want that guy. I want my guy. I want a real American Ford boy. And he's like, well, your Ford boy sucks at driving. So it's going to be this guy. And so eventually he gets to drive. And there's a relationship between the driver who's played by Christian Bale. His name's Ken Miles in the movie. And he has a son who's like 15. And so this was really interesting to me because not only was it a story about men who were all like working on something together and like working through interpersonal conflict to like beat someone else. Right. So there's this like really cool competitive aspect to it. Like I was watching them. I was like just seeing all these guys like working together. And I was like, man, maybe it's just cause I work remote, you know, but I was like, I want to work with a bunch of guys on something.
Yeah.
But then there was also this aspect of the father and the son, and the dad was 45 and he had been in the war and he was a race car driver late in life and he was the best at it. Like he would won every race. He was so good. And his son looked up to him, like idolized him. and would like stay up late. I know this is like a movie trope and this doesn't happen in real life, but the son would stay up late, like drawing the courses, you know, that his dad would drive and like trying to memorize the track so that he could follow his dad on TV when he's over in Le Mans. And I know that's a trope of like the son staying up late, you know, and the dad comes in like, why are you, what are you doing out of bed, sport, you know? But I saw that scene and it made me think, and I wanted to talk to you about it because I am concerned that my desired career path does not lend itself to my son staying up late at night and like thinking about what I'm doing, you know, or like looking up to me. And this might be like a non-issue, but it feels weird to like love the Catholic faith a lot and like want to be working in like the, oh no, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. My internet just like restarted for a second. But if we're good, then we'll keep going. It feels weird to like really want to be in the Catholic media space and do podcasting and do shows and want to do social media, want to do all these things. Like, I can't imagine my son staying up late and like making a reel that I made, you know? Like, so
is Peter going to grow up and like dream of podcasting?
Yeah. You know? Like, I just, and not that everyone has to have like a sexy job, and obviously race car driving is this exciting thing and it's a movie, but I was just sexy. I was thinking about it and it just kind of made me on one hand sad to think that like, am I ever going to have a like thing in my life that is like so thrilling to like my teenage son that he's going to want to come to all of my races and want to do all these things. And I just don't know. Is it like wrong for us to like make our whole lives this thing, or would it be better for us to like go and be excellent at some other thing and then like let the faith live through it? Because it's like, he's also not going to stay up late and like read the Summa either, you know?
I don't know.
He might be if he's like you.
Some kids are nerds.
I know. Do you kind of get what I'm getting at here though?
Yeah. I feel like, I'm sure a lot of people resonate with this.
Yeah.
We were talking about, you know, not whose kid grows up drawing pictures of the stigmas around mental health, you know? It's like there's
that's
jobs.
True. Yeah.
A lot of jobs are just not real jobs.
Yeah.
Most jobs are email jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I don't know. There's things about work that your kid sees and what they don't see, mm-hmm. and they're gonna get, I feel like Peter will get excited about the things that he does see.
Yeah.
You know? Like, my dad is, look, that's my dad on a YouTube video and there's a bunch of numbers beneath his picture. That's cool. You know?
Maybe.
And kids do film reels, by the way. They do pretend to be YouTubers. That is a real thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But I think this, like, for my job is, you know, my son's not going to grow up and be like, I want to be a salesman. You know what I mean? Like, but he might grow up and want to be an entrepreneur. You know, he might want to grow up and start his own business where that's he sells wares to the local youths.
It sounds like your son's going to grow up to be a drug dealer. That's what it sounds like.
he's going to be on the corner. You know, he's going to be selling. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not too worried about it because it's just the reality. Like, I mean, it's not too late, but it's not something that I desire to develop a skill that's very flashy and like race car driving or, I don't know, gardening. I don't have the desire to get that skill yet, but I'm sure once you start, like, I don't know, the things that Peter sees you do is like fixing the backyard.
Yeah.
And he's going to want to help you do that because he thinks you're cool.
Yeah. I guess I have this weird, Emma and I were talking about this the other day. It's not that weird, but I have a pretty strong competitive drive.
Mm.
And so hence me getting all defensive when you said you listened to another podcast that was about
Ethan, it's okay. We've been doing this for 7 years.
Yeah.
At a certain point, we have to admit that we are very far ahead of people who are starting out.
Because they're going to be new and everyone's going to be like, look at this cool new thing. Shut up, old geezers. Get out of here. I'm Ford Motor and you're a Ken Miles and I don't want you in my race car.
People don't like new things. Well, they do, but they like new things. Never mind. Go on. Go ahead.
I forget what I was saying because you upset me. I have a competitive drive, and it feels like when I read about like sports competitions, race car competitions, business competitions, even. Like I read that book about the Nike guy trying
podcast to competitions
get ahead with Nike. It just feels like I am so far removed from any type of like legitimate competition in my life. You know,
yeah.
Like last night I played poker for 4 hours. Awesome. It was the best. It was the best. Like I was literally, time flew like this because I was like, because I was analyzing. And I was like, you bet like this. I was locked in. It's like, you bet like this when you have this and you don't. There were people at my table who didn't know what cards they had in their hand, which just drove me insane. Because to me, it's like, you don't respect the competition.
Yeah.
You're here. You're faffing around. And take it seriously. We're only playing for $5 total, you know, so each hand is worth like 15 cents.
You know my big pet peeve in poker is when the newbie is like, I'm going to go all in just to see what happens. And then the person who wins with like high card gets double the chips. You know, it's just not. Yeah.
I did go all in against someone. I had a pair of fives. He had a pair of kings and I hit a five on the river to win the hand. It was electric. It was awesome. Anyway, but I wonder, is that like wrong of me? Like, should I be more content with like what you're saying? Like, oh, I'm just going to do my job and like my son's going to like the things that he sees and my life is just not going to be very spectacular, you know? I don't know. There's something about that that just makes me like sad, I guess. And I don't know if that's I don't think that's a Christian attitude. I think maybe I'm just like America-pilled, you know?
It's a Chestertonian quote that says, there's nothing more extraordinary than an ordinary man, his ordinary wife, and his ordinary children.
Mm.
Which, in terms of like definitions, is untrue. But in terms of spirit, like it is true.
Yes. Right.
You know, everyone's trying to be extraordinary. And in that regard, it's very boring. Everyone's trying to tell you that they're different. Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to tell you how they're like trying to scale. You know? Everyone on LinkedIn is the CEO of their single member LLC. You know, it's like everyone's trying to be the best. And it's like the best according to who? Mm-hmm. That's why I like the infinite game concept. It's very humble.
Yeah.
If you don't know the concept, it's like finite games have known players, defined rules and defined outcomes and a defined end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But infinite games,
Monopoly deal is a finite game.
Is a finite game. But infinite games have known and unknown players, agreed upon and unagreed upon rules, and no defined end. The point of the game is to keep the game going.
Yes.
And it's like, that's kind of how it was when we were kids. Where it's like the point of the game at recess is not to finish the game, it's to play the entire until recess is over, you know? And so we're willing to like, you know, it's an undefined rule. Like, I guess you are out, but that would mean the game is over. We can just keep playing. You know, like the point is to keep playing. And a lot of most of the games worth playing, I don't know if it's all, I hesitate to say all, but it seems to me that all of the games worth playing are infinite games. Marriage is an infinite game. There's known and unknown players. People come into the marriage that by the very definition of marriage, people come into it that weren't there before and you don't know who they are. Your children.
Who are you getting married to? Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like a polygamy situation.
No.
You know?
I'm talking about like the very nature of marriage brings in new people, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you the story of my friend's son, Gus, when we told him that Phoebe was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, remember Gus, you remember when your mommy had a baby, had Catherine in her tummy? Well, Miss Phoebe has a baby in her tummy. And he goes, really? Who is it?
I was
like, we don't know. That's the crazy thing. It's like, but it's like, that's the thing. It's like, it has known and unknown players. It has agreed upon and not agreed upon, known and unknown rules. But the point of you don't win at marriage. The point of marriage is to stay married.
Stay married.
Yeah. And the point of, and the Ramosi guy is saying this in a, in regards to business, where business and I guess achievement and your career, the goal is not there's not a finite goal. The goal is not retirement. The goal is to keep playing until you die. And so like doing and like and making something really cool and really and big. I kind of realized this in myself where it's like I have one foot. I live in the world. I have a family in the world. I need to build this thing. I don't know. To me, it's like your kid will see the drive that you have. Like, I have to go to work because I have to build this thing, you know, and they won't understand it. They won't like it. They'll understand in the future. They can help you build in the future. You know, you can include them in the business. Right. And they like understand how it works. I think kids understand more than you think, and they'll be impressed by more than you think. I mean, Leo thinks that the bunny on our neighbor's door is the coolest thing in the world. And to us, it's so...
I mean, have you seen it? It's amazing.
Bunny. Every time the door opens, the bunny is gone because it's not Easter anymore. And he's like, bunny. And we're like, there's no bunny. He goes, wow.
I know. Ridiculous.
Wow. But he's like, your kids are going to be impressed because they're impressed by everything. Everything is new.
Yeah.
They've never seen it before.
I guess deep down, I think there's a fear that like when I die in heaven, you know, there's no more opportunity to build something new or like create something or win like that. Those concepts like go away in heaven.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm thinking like I'm here now and I'm absolutely dedicated to my family 100%. But like my family will be with me in heaven, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's like this part of my life, like the creating something, the winning, the competition, the building, the whatever. It's like I watch the race car guy and I'm like, I'm never going to have the chance to do something like that, like ever in eternity, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, well... There's like a feeling that like I can't even describe where it's just like
ennui. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a Wii Sports theme.
That's the Wii Sports.
Anything that's good that you desire is present to you in heaven.
I will have a race car.
Yes. Everything the good that you desire in racing cars is present to you in heaven in a more perfect way.
That's fair.
Phoebe and I were talking about that because there is a sadness when like when you have a baby for the first time, this part of when you get married, that part of our relationship is gone.
Is over.
And there's exciting things about it and there's not exciting things about it. And when you have another baby, it's like, wow, it's not just going to be us three anymore. We have a third baby. It's like, oh, it's not just going to be us four anymore. You know, it's like there's good. Right. It's good. There's another person. There's you're losing something and that's sad. But all of those good things are present to you at once in heaven. Because all of those good things are participations in the divine.
Yeah. I guess I just don't believe that, you know, like
the way C.S. Lewis has heaven in Narnia is pretty cool where it's like further up and further in, they just keep running. Yeah. It's like, it's infinite. The point of heaven is to keep going.
Right. What if I want to go back?
There's no reason to go back because the forward has everything in include, you know?
Yeah. But I guess it's the infinite. It's crazy that we're like God exists because there can't be an infinite regression to nothing, but then it's like, well, there can be an infinite forward forever, you know. It's like weird to me.
You can't be an infinite regressions, but you can't have an infinite progression.
Yeah, I suppose.
To me, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's hard for me.
Biased. Sure,
it's really hard for me.
It is scary when you stop to think about it. It's like, hey, in the future.
Yeah.
You will exist in a state that you don't understand forever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of freaky. I don't like it. I don't like talking about it on my comedy podcast.
It is scary.
It is scary, man. I just wanted to watch Ford v Ferrari with my wife and talk about Enzo Ferrari. And instead, I'm like sitting there thinking about this boy and his dad. And the dad dies at the end of the movie.
It's dang,
like, that sucks.
No.
I know.
Yeah, so I don't want to die. Whole,
it's like it's even worse, right? Because you have this like kid looking up to his dad and he wins Le Mans, except he gets second place due to a technicality and then he dies testing the car that they're going to race next year, and it's like, oh, he never got the chance to be the best. So it's just Yeah, it just hits. It hits really deep. And now Ken Miles is up there in the infinite race car. You know, hopefully. He was from England, so who knows if he's in heaven or not.
Yeah, that's fair. It's really tough to get into heaven if you're in England. I think that the infinite game is desirable to me because the only competition is with yourself. Mm-hmm. You only lose if you decide to stop, and you win the day you decide to start.
Yeah.
And so the winning is perpetual. It's not in the strict sense infinite. Anti-Francis Thomas, don't come after me. It's not infinite, but it has no end. So what would you call that? It has no defined end, and so you keep playing, you keep going. I mean, the spiritual life is like that. You don't win. And I think a lot of people try to turn infinite games into finite games because it's easier to understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we're finite people, yes. So it makes sense.
Our bodies are finite. Like the material world is finite, but our souls are infinite.
Yes.
They are immortal. They extend into the future.
Yeah, but I can't manipulate things with my soul in the way that I can with my finite body. You know, all of my day-to-day. Okay. Manipulate me right now with your soul. It just poops.
I have manipulated you with my soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if I have much more on that, but I just thought it was like I don't know. I can't get it out of my head. It's just a great movie, by the way. I think everybody should watch it. And I don't think you will get out of it what I got out of it, because it probably is way more fun just to watch as like a car movie where they go, and it's good.
Oh, yeah. Those kinds of things hit different when you have kids, you know?
Yes.
When you are a kid, you're like,
car fast.
To go to sleep, car fast. Yeah. But you know, when you're a dad, you're like, man, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oof. Anyway, gotta stop. Phoebe was telling me, she was like, I think on Facebook they're showing me. She deleted her Facebook because she was like, they're showing me stories about babies dying. Like every time I go on Facebook, I see a news story about a baby who has cancer or a post from someone about miscarriage, and I'm like, Phoebe, it's because you always read those, and so Facebook is always going to show you them.
Yes,
you know, it understands.
I don't want to see more of this.
It tracks your eye movement, so it knows that you're reading the word miscarriage, and so it boosts that. And you know,
it's crazy.
It's just because some guy who studies the stigma around mental health helped a guy who studied the, you know, AI tracking, and they work together to form something that ruins your day.
That makes sense as to why whenever I get on Facebook, I just see articles for huge blocks of cheese is the only thing that I see over and over again. That must be correlated in some way to my browsing activity.
Yeah. You're searching cheese. You're on cheese. I'm
a bit of a cheese man myself.
Yeah, that's what I've always said about you.
Yes.
I'm a kind of a cheese guy.
Yeah. One day I'm going to show up and there's going to be a glass case right here. It's just going to have a huge cheese wheel in it. And then over the course of the year,
it's rotating in a mirror box.
It's going to get smaller and smaller.
Every episode, a quarter of it is missing.
Yeah.
And then it's replaced by a new wheel. That's really funny.
Oh, man. I'd love to get a... If I won the lottery, I wouldn't tell anyone, but there would be signs. Cheese wheel and a 1990s Toyota Land Cruisers would be the, you would know that I've made big. Yeah.
That's fun.
All right. That's it for us on the main show, the main pod.
Yeah.
We have another show that we do every week called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. It comes out on Wednesdays where we take your dating questions and we answer them. We have a secret third show every Friday where we take no questions and we answer to nobody. And it's called the...
We take no questions and we have no topic, but it's awesome.
It's really fun, and some even say unhinged. Some people said that this past one was their favorite one in a long time because of how off the rails we were. So,
oh yeah.
If you're interested in us being off the rails, not abiding to normal discussion standards, you go to patreon.com/thecrunch, $10 a month and up to support the show. We'll get you access to a third episode every week. The third secret of Fatima is contained within that third episode. So check it out. Patrick, do you got anything else for the people?
I, for one, would be impressed if Ethan became a postdoc studying the stigmas around mental health.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you all next time.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.